Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Everybody that preached, everybody that sang, everybody that shared, it was powerful. Amen. And I just thank God for everybody that was able to share. I'm going to go ahead and get ready to close us on out. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate everyone that was able to come out. Amen. Hallelujah. We kind of tag teaming here on the conference. And my mom was like, hey, everybody don't normally do that, but I just like the tag team. You know, you get that word, you get punched in, you know what I'm saying? And then you get some worship, get some songs or something, then we punch you again. You know what I'm saying? We working you. Amen. But it's all kingdom work. Hallelujah. We're not really hitting nobody. Just saying that. Let's just put that out there. Amen. Somebody like, that's a violent church. No. But the kingdom suffering is violent, and the violence, what? Oh, we're going to take this thing. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, number one, for the opportunity, dear God, to be here another day. Dear God, as we know, some people were not able to make it to today, but God, so we give you praise and we glorify your name for who you are and what you have done, oh God. We pray to God that as we commence this service, oh God, that you be glorified, and dear God, that you take us to a new place in you, oh God. Dear God, each and every one of us, we want to grow in you, oh God. And I pray that today we do that. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. I'm just going to start with the theme scripture. And, you know, when God gives me conferences, I pray about what the conference title is, but I also ask God, what do you want the theme to be? And this year he said, the warrior's perspective. Amen. We have to see things the way that a warrior sees things. Amen. When you look at all these things that are going on, even as of yesterday, today, Kenya and France, this is letting you know that there's a spiritual war that is trying to elevate. The enemy is trying to elevate. But the Bible says when the enemy comes rushing in like a flood, the people of God raise up a banner. Amen. Or there's another word says it raise up a standard against the enemy. So we must begin to do that. Amen. Let's read this. It says, if my people. So I can preach a lot about that if right there. I hadn't even opened it up. But if so that means that some people are not going to get it. And though some people are God's people. Right. Some people are not going to get it. It says if my people, but some people are not going to be the ones that do the if. That if is it's up to you. It's an option. Amen. God gives us options, but he wants to know if you want something to change in your life, you must move. If you want things to break in your life that have been holding you back, you must move. Somebody say, what about that if? What about that if? It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's our job. Now, some people look, oh, that's for the people in the world. But once again, God says, if my people. Amen. And this is not, God's word is ever living. Amen. It never dies. So he's talking to us. What do we need to humble ourselves about? What do we need to humble? First of all, some of us, we need to be humble so we can even get to a place of prayer. Right? I'm not even going to front. Sometimes when you think you got it all together, God, I thank you for this day. God bless you. Amen. That's your prayer life. Right? But when this is why sometimes he has to put you in those places where you feel like, oh my God, man, God, what's the deal, God? I need your help, God. Come on, Lord. Because some of us won't humble ourselves. And the Bible says if you don't humble yourself, he'll get you humble. Amen. So I'll just say learn from them humbling experiences so you don't have to continue So be humble. That's step one. Chamia talked about that yesterday. Another one is pray. Pray. Once again, you have to be humble to pray, because when you pray, you realize that you are not good enough. God, I'm not good enough. That's why I'm calling on you, because I need direction. I need to understand my purpose. I need to understand my plan. See, when people understand the power of prayer, it really is not their power. It's you. It's saying, God, I need your power right now. And because you've given me this avenue of prayer, I'm going to use it. Amen. Seek my face. Now, see, prayer and seeking his face. Some of us, we know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know how to seek his face. That seeking of his face is taking that time and say, okay, God, what do you really want? You know, a lot of times I've been praying, God, I don't even want to bring you anything right now. I just want to know, what do you want of me? God, I want to hear you. How many have heard God speak to you? I mean, you don't just pray and you just hear God. You have to seek his face. So it's like being summoned into the king's court. You don't just walk in there. You say, okay, look, I got everything in order. King, can I come through? Oh, yeah. All right. Now, King, what is it that you have for me? I want to hear. I just want to sit in your court. I just want to be in your presence so I can hear you and see what your heart is right now. Amen. Amen. And turn from their wicked ways. Now that, oh my goodness, church people got wicked ways? Is that? God's people got wicked ways? We got wicked ways? Marquise got wicked ways? This is something that I have to defeat. Amen? But it goes all the way back to if. See, some people don't want to acknowledge that. They know they got wicked ways, but let me just stay in my wicked ways. I like my wicked ways. As Chamia was saying yesterday, it feels good for sin. It's pleasurable for a season. You know, I'm in the middle of writing this new song, and I'm trying to figure out what I want to say. But this song is called Enmity. You know, and it's just talking. This song, I want to talk about how the ways of the world is cool for them, but for me, it's not. I'm totally different. You want that? I don't want that. Right. The things you say, come on, Keys, let's go. No, man, won't you come over here? And it's a struggle. And some of those people are supposed to be trying to live for the Lord. Right. Oh, I just want to live for God. But it's hard. Right. You ever heard somebody say that? Yeah. It's too hard. Well, there's nothing I can do. I can't tell you it's going to be easy. Amen. But if you want to be a warrior, you're going to have to go through some hard stuff. You're going to have to realize that, man, okay, I couldn't even have made that on my own. If we realize who the number one warrior is, we understand that he got our back. How many have ever seen people in war? I remember seeing the movie Narnia. You guys all saw that? Yeah, some of us haven't. But anyway, Narnia, there was a time where one of the kids was fighting and his brother saw him. And he wanted to go protect him. But he didn't make it in time. Right? His brother had died. But how many know that God will make it in time? God is not slow on keeping his promises. God will be there in time, in your time of need, if you call on him. Amen. Amen? Then it says, then I will hear from heaven. All right? If you want your prayers to be answered, some of us are praying for things. You got to humble yourself. You got to pray. You got to seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. Then he'll hear you. He says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. How many know we are in need of healing? You know, sometimes we blame the world for where we're at, but sometimes we need to look at us and saying, are we at the right place? Where we need to be. Are we sharing the gospel like we need to be sharing the gospel? Some of those people that are doing crazy things could have been prevented. How many know that there might have been somebody next to them that was scared to share the gospel? Might have been. If I share, I don't know. They might, you know, that same if internal battle is coming up. Oh, I don't know if I should share. They might not like me. They might think but see, we really cannot be concerned with the things of this world. If you're worried about if somebody's going to like you, you're already not being a warrior. Yeah. Right? Okay? So we're going to keep on moving. As I was coming up with this conference title, I was praying, and I had a dream. And I thank God for dreams. Amen. Godly dreams. He woke me up, and in this dream, he showed me that prayer is warfare. Right? That's why the enemy doesn't want you to pray. That's why you'll wake up, you'll be tired. The alarm, oh man, I need 25 more minutes of sleep, right? Because the enemy just wants to keep your mouth shut. Because if you open your mouth and give God the glory, God can reign in this place. So he was showing me that your prayer is warfare. And we know that sometimes, but it was just like a re-energizing thing for me that was like, okay, it's time to pray for real. It's time to pray for real. Why? Because I got people in my family that still haven't got it yet. I got friends that I'm waiting on to come back to the Lord. I got some friends that I'm waiting on to just come to the Lord. Am I the only one? But how many know that it's going to come through prayer? Amen? Let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 26 through 36. Not only is prayer your warfare, but prayer is preparation for war. And I like that. I like the fact that everybody that preached, they had a whole different angle. I was like, man, praise the Lord, because you got a lot to go home and practice. Amen. All right, so this is the story of Jesus in the garden, right? So before this happened, they were in the upper room. He was like, one of y'all going to betray me, right? You guys remember this? Everybody like, come on, Lord, here, right? I'm ride or die. I'm not leaving your side. I'm there. Whatever you need. They were saying those dangerous prayers, kind of like Pastor Presu's, May Presu said. Them dangerous, God, I'll be there, whatever it takes. But how many know sometimes those whatever it takes come back? Right? Oh, whatever it takes? Okay. How many know that you're going to be tested on what you pray? Man, I realized that. I stopped praying for patience. I said, God, I thank you. I got enough patience. Thank you, Jesus. Right? I stopped saying, God, please give me more patience, because when that happens, my kids going to start wilding out. Right? And it's like, man, God, I don't know why I said that. But you're going to be tested on what you pray and what you say. It says this. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. All right? Now, one thing that I want you guys to understand, he didn't just say sit. He actually says, pray here. Well, I go over there and pray. Okay? Why do I know that? Because when we continue to read, he's going to say, why? What's the deal? Right? It says, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. All right? Now, let me say something about that. This is who? Jesus was sorrowful and deeply distressed, but it did not stop his faith. It did not stop him from saying, okay, I need to go pray. Right? How many of us, when we get sorrowful and deeply distressed, prayer is the last thing we want to do? Right? We're mad at God instead of trying to go to God and ask him what's going on. Why am I here? See, don't let those things stop your war. You lose the war if you stop there. It says, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And not only did he feel it, he told them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. All right? Now, this watch is what? It's prayer. Okay, see, that's the thing about some of us that we got to realize, your prayer is watching out for somebody else. Amen? Amen? I thank God that I got people that pray around me. Amen. When I met Precious and saw that she could pray, she went from a 10, you know what I'm saying, to the highest number that's out there. So I'm going to say. Because I needed that prayer in my life. Somebody say, watch me.
Watch
Watch me. It says he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this tough stuff that I'm dealing with move. I'm dealing with so much right now, God, let this move." But somebody say, but. Or it says, nevertheless. All right. Nevertheless, see, we want that stuff to move. But nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. Not as I will, but as you will. See, when you are in the war, sometimes you might lose some battles, right? If you look at all the wars that the world has been in, there were some battles that were lost, some casualties. But they win the war if they stay on course. So Jesus is saying, hey, okay, this is not what I want, but Lord, your will be done. If I have to go through this because you're teaching me something right now, let it be done. Amen. And everything that Jesus went through, guess what? We're going to go through as well. The Bible says, don't be caught off guard that you're going to go through things. But he said, be of good cheer because I have overcame, so you will overcome. Warriors overcome. Amen. Amen. Let's keep on reading. It says, he went a little further. He's walking and praying, fell on his face and said, oh, my Father, if it is possible. I'm sorry, I read that already. Let's go to verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Just 1 hour, right? Now, sometimes 1 hour of prayer is tough, right? Even for us, if my people would humble themselves and pray, sometimes it's going to take an hour, right? How many ever been in a situation and you stayed up and prayed all night, right? Or at least until you heard something from God. Okay, God, I don't know, man, it's already two. God, okay, Lord, come on. I need to hear you, right? I've been praying. I'm seeking your face. Forgive me of any sins that I've done. Whatever is stopping me from getting into your presence and hearing your voice, remove it. But I need to hear from you. You got to get desperate sometimes in your prayers. Amen. Amen. So he says, you couldn't watch. We couldn't pray with me 1 hour. Watch and pray. Lest, all right, you enter into temptation. So what that tells me, Jesus clearly says that if you don't pray, you're going to fall to temptation. All right? So if you are having issues with temptations, I got one step for you. It's time to pray. Matter of fact, we need to go back to if my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from it. So you got four steps. Okay? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, how many we hear people say that? Sometimes we hear them joke. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? That's not a good thing, though. Right? The flesh needs to be the weak thing. Right? We need to get rid of the flesh. But also what he is saying is your flesh is weak in the sense of you're more capable to fall into the flesh if you're not praying, if you're not spending time with me. Amen. In Galatians 5, it talks about the things that the Spirit of God will produce in your life and the things that the flesh will produce in your life. And to get out of the flesh, you have to be in prayer. Again, a second time, he said, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came them asleep and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Sometimes you got to say the same words. You know, some people say, oh, just say the same, say the prayer once and God hears it. You ain't got to pray it again. Right? No, Jesus is our prototype. He said the same words. Right? Then he came and found his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. see my betrayer is at hand. So what happened is, because of this moment, the disciples were not prepared to stay with God. They were not prepared for the war. Right? They were not prepared. And unfortunately, that happens to us if we are not in prayer. If we're not spending time with God, and I can say this and be serious about this. I've been living for the Lord a long time. But sometimes when people come in and it's like, man, I haven't prayed. I don't have a word for them. You know, when they need prayer for themselves. Oh, God, what is it? God, I ain't been praying like I need to pray. I need it. Because usually it could come quick. Oh, you walked through. Okay, God got this because I've been spending time with him. But when you're not spending time with him, can't find a word. And guess what? The world needs a word. And not your own word. Because some of us, if we don't got a word from God, well, I can pull one out. You know what I'm saying? Let me give you something real quick. I could pull something. You're going to hurt yourself, though. You don't want to pull something. Amen. So we must understand that prayer is preparation for war. Our worship is also something that is warfare. Amen. See, worship should not come. See, when you have praise, you're thanking God for what he has done. And T.D. Jakes said it like this. But when you have worship, you're thanking God just because he's God. Even God, if it hasn't looked good, I still worship you. Job said, even if you slay me, I can still say that you are God. So that's why some of the Christians that are facing persecution, they can still say God is good when they're dying. Because they realize what worship really is. What does that do to the person that's killing them? Man, like that's the thing I be trying to figure out. Like, these people are not stopping worshiping even while you're killing them. That's going to mess them up. Right? Because they can't understand it. They can't fathom it. But when you understand what worship is, it's your warfare. I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to challenge the men. A lot of times we go to churches, and the women are worshipers. Men are sitting down quiet, right? Not all men, I'm just saying. But if I'm hitting you, I'm hitting you, right? Some men haven't learned what it means to worship God, because a lot of times worship means somebody's better than you. Right? You worship God because he's better than you, but a lot of men don't want to, I'm the best. They don't want to say somebody's better than them. They don't want to show a sign of surrendering. Amen? But how many know if you can't beat them, might as well join them. Right? You will not beat God in giving. The church says you can't beat God giving, but you can't beat God in anything. He is the greatest. And when you really come into awe of who he is, it's going to shake up your households and your families. Because they see a man worshiping. This is no knock to the women. I thank God that women are willing to worship. Amen. But men have to rise up and begin to worship God, because when you do that, it causes the enemy to say, oh, man, he ain't playing. I thought he was going to be bad because he lost his job, but he's still worshiping. That ain't going to work. Huh? I thought when we did this to them and their family that it was going to stop them. But nah, when you learn how to worship, it doesn't matter what my situation looks like. I know that God still looks good. Amen. And he looked good on me because I'm serving him. Amen. Men, we must begin to worship. Women, we must begin to worship. Amen. A lot of times we don't worship, and I've been in this place. A lot of times we don't worship because we're frustrated with God. You know what I'm saying? Oh, God, man, I'm not feeling. I'll go to church, but, man, I'm not really feeling that song. Right, we start trying to put it on different things, but you're really just not feeling God at that moment. Right? That was like that kick from that one lady yesterday. Right? Knockout kick. We have to still understand that God is good. Amen? One thing we cannot do is never stop. I'm going to read this scripture, and I got a lot of stuff that I'm going to try to get through. But it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All right. So there's a couple things we can look at. If you're working outside of the Lord, that's in vain. But if you're inside of the will of God and constantly checking on them, make sure that you continue to do it. Amen. And I'm talking to pastors. I'm talking to the ministers. I'm talking to the ones that have been in this thing for a long time. It feels like everything is not going, but a warrior doesn't stop. He continues to know, okay, they might have won that battle, but let's set up. Okay, we just lost, right? Don't go home and go to sleep. No, we need to go back at them, right? We need to set up another plan, because just because the enemy came and do that, guess what? I guarantee, like with the stuff that we just saw, they're not just sleeping. Like, we hope it doesn't happen again. They're preparing themselves. It's called a counter attack. Amen. So when you continue to go, despite what has happened, God is going to use that. Amen. Hallelujah. Like I said, I got so much stuff. I'm trying to see what I'm going to use and what I'm not going to use. Amen. Let's go to Luke 9, verse 1. Through 6. This is when Jesus sent out his disciples. All right, I know what this is. So after, we got to remember, the disciples kind of dispersed after that whole situation that we talked about. Remember, Jesus was in the garden. He got betrayed. The disciples were gone. Right? They were gone. So even when people think about the gospel was not spread by Jesus. Jesus, after he died, first of all, he had to die and rise. That's part of the gospel. You don't have the gospel without that, right? All right? But something happened to the disciples to make them say, man, this is God. And not only were they prepared, each one of them died for what they believed in, except for one, and he was isolated on a remote island. But he didn't even stop in the work of God. He kept writing books. Hey, man, you can't stop the pen. You know what I'm saying? You might stop me. I'm over here. I don't got anybody. But let me put this message in a bottle, send it across the water. Somebody going to pick it up. Amen. But he didn't stop despite his isolation. But look, let's go read this. And this is before Jesus was betrayed. It's in Luke 9, chapter 1 through 6. It says, then, or chapter 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Right? He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staffs nor bag, nor bread nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. All right, now be careful. Don't be doing that kind of stuff. We had somebody come in. I ain't even going to go there. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, one thing that I want you to catch is the power and authority that God has given to you. When you realize God has given me power and authority, whatever comes up, you don't let it faze you. Because God has given me power and authority. This situation that I'm seeing, I have power and authority over it because God is Lord over all things. But see, a lot of us, God could, you know, but I don't know if he really will. That's because you haven't grasped the power and authority he's given you. When I pray, I expect God to move. Right? And it's not because I'm some super Christian. Right? But I read that and I'd be like, God was talking to me. It's time for me to turn up. Power and authority, he's given it to me. And he's also given it to all those that follow him. Amen? Amen. Say, I have power and authority.
I have power and authority.
Let's go to Luke chapter 10, next chapter over, so you ain't got to turn too fast, too far. Verse 17 through 20. This is the report of what happened after they went out, right? Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, and they're kind of shocked when this happened. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, and I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority. Amen. He says it again. Why? Because some of them are still like, I can't believe this is happening. I prayed and God, you moved. But guess what? Sometimes you just got to be foolish enough to go pray. Amen. But some of I don't know if it's going to work. Right? But it will work if you do it in the Lord's name. And you believe it. But he said, I have give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Amen? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. So that's not what we rejoice in. We don't rejoice in the fact that, oh, yeah, God, I got the power to do this. God, you've blessed me to do this. He said, don't rejoice in that. But he says that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What does that tell me? That even in that scripture, God wants to share with us that it's more important to have your relationship signed, sealed, and delivered with him. Amen. It's more important for that than for you to be rejoicing about the battles you've won. Because guess what? You can win some battles and not make it in. Right? You can be the best warrior, but somebody catch you slipping on one day, and you're not the best no more. Amen? If God asks you to praise and worship for the walls to fall down in your life, what excuses will you make? Right? Some of us make so many excuses of why we don't want to praise or worship God. It's not the time of the day. I wish it could be here. I wish it could be there. I wish they could sing my favorite song. See, that's idolatry. When it's your favorite song, that's the only song that gets you to worship. Right? It is, because you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping that song. The people in the world, they do it. Throw on some secular music, whatever the top song is right now, they start going crazy. And sometimes they're not even creative songs. It's vulgar. It's going to talk about what they want to do, how they want to do it, and don't let your kids hear this. I'm just saying. But the enemy manifests walls in your life to block you from obtaining the purpose he has for you. Amen? How do we know that? We look at the story of Job. We see Job, great man of God. Things are going great. The enemy's like, hold up, man. God, the enemy comes up to God. I don't really think his worship is for real. I don't think it is. So let me just manipulate some things. And see, this is the power the enemy has. First of all, he doesn't have any. Okay? He had to go through God to ask. So when you're tested, guess what? God sees something in you. Amen. See, some of us don't get that. When you go through something, God sees something in you, and he sees that they can go through this and they will win. But if you don't have the perspective of a warrior, you don't see that. All you see is, my God, this is not what I wanted to go through. Right? Now, this doesn't mean you rejoice about bad things that happen in your life or other people's lives. That would be foolish. But understand that God is able to bring you out. Amen? Amen? And there is nothing that the enemy can do to you to stop you from moving forward in God, unless you give him access, unless you release the authority and power that God has given you. Amen. So what walls has the enemy manifested in your life that they look like they can't come down? What are those walls? Whatever they are, do not let them stop you, because we can see through the eyes of God that he said it out of his own mouth that you will overcome. So run through those walls. Amen. That's why, I mean, just picture this. Maybe those walls that were in Jericho were really just spiritual walls. Right? That were manifested as we see. How many, some of us, we can see in the spirit. Right? Not only were they spiritual walls, they fell spiritually. It was a supernatural falling that really gave the children of Israel the victory. Why? Because they were in prayer. Joshua was in prayer. I mean, like my wife said, come on, man, you walk around the wall 7 times and these are going to fall. How many Israelites were like, man, Joshua done lost it. Right? But, exactly. But because he listened to God, first of all, he was even able to get there. They had to cross another river to get there. So they're like, oh my goodness, this is some crazy stuff. Amen. But when you see God manifest in your life, it's the same thing. When you see those things, oh man, it looked like I wasn't going to be able to make it, but God came through in a clutch. He's better than Jordan. Amen. All of them combined. When the game is on the line, God's going to get it done. Amen. I got this quote right here. Challenges are opportunities to conquer. Challenges are opportunities to conquer and become testimonies. I was reading that from the Bible study. If you guys, there's so many, what are they called in this Bible? Devotionals. And that was from Brian Houston talking about lead, love, and something else. I can't remember. But just look it up if you're in the Bible. It was a great devotional to check out. But challenges are opportunities to conquer and become testimonies. Next time you have a challenge, they say, I'm going to be victorious. Start speaking that in your own life. That's a warrior's perspective. David did not go into the battle with Goliath saying, I wonder if I'm going to win. He told him, I'm going to win. Because he called him some names. You stinking dog came to talk about my God. So I'm going to finish you. It wasn't no if, right? But guess what? There was a whole bunch of other people in that camp that didn't take on that if. I'm going to go. That's what David said. Oh, man, who is this guy? He came into the camp. His brothers are like, man, get out of here, you little guy. That means they were bigger than him. Right? King Saul was bigger than him. King Saul was like one of the tallest cats. Probably had some muscles. He probably would have. It would have been a good fight between him and Goliath. Like, I'm serious. But he was scared because he wasn't humble himself. He wasn't praying. He wasn't seeking the face of God. He wasn't turning from his wicked ways. So at that moment, he knew he didn't have God with him. So he's like, look, I'm going to be smart and not even go fight. Hey, whoever can beat this cat, I got something for you. Right? I got a house waiting on you. You can marry my daughter and you don't got to pay no taxes. Right? I think the Israelites started that tax thing. I'm not really feeling it. Anyway, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I had a dream last night as I was getting ready for this, and I was excited, and God just been giving me dreams. But I was at a church with my brother Che, and as we were in this church, they started saying some stuff, and it changed me. It just got hit with the Spirit of God and started saying the Word of God. Now, in this church, they were dressed nice. They looked the part, but they didn't want to hear the Word of God. So they're like, who is this? People were getting mad because he was sharing the Word of God. Yeah, and it was so bad, I was like, Che, we're about to go. Che, it's time to go. And it wasn't, I didn't understand what they were mad at. We were dressed in the clothes that they wanted us to be dressed in, right? But they didn't want to hear the Word of God. And I woke up, I was like, God, what does that mean? And he was saying, some people are fighting for the wrong things. You got some warriors that are fighting against the will of God, but they're in the house of God. Right? Fighting the wrong battle. You still fighting about what we should wear, but your life don't look like what you should look like. You still fighting about these different things that go on, but it's not what God wants you to fight. You have your own battle. You're fighting to make your name look good. But your name doesn't look good. I mean, first of all, we are all sinners. We are all scumbags. We all need help, right? Only a couple of us said right on that, huh? We don't like saying that we're messed up. We are messed up. Everybody say that. We are messed up. Let's say it again. We're messed up. Say, I'm jacked up. But the great thing is that God can fix the jacked up people. Amen. And he'll turn those messed up, jacked up people into people that he can use for his glory when you still recognize that I'm messed up. I still recognize that I need you, God. Why? Because if I don't have you, this is foolish. I'm one of them people, man, if God was not real in my life, I would be far from church. Why waste time? I'm just saying, some people, they go to church, they know they're going to hell. Right? And they wasting time. You might as well have as much fun as you can while you're here. Because if you're going to hell, it's still going to be bad. Right? But I'm just saying, like, if I didn't believe in God, I would do whatever I want to do. But since God has impressed himself on my heart and I realize that he is God, I surrender. I realize that I must worship you, God, because you are great. I'm not. I need you. I can't make it on my own. And God, I'm so in love with the fact that you love me. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes some people are just fighting for the wrong things. I'm almost done. Actually, I don't know, though. Let me see. Warriors, this is the thing too. Warriors, they don't only attack, but some warriors, great warriors, should know how to guard themselves. Amen? Now, some people, they attack. Hey, how many people saw the highlights from that UFC women's fight with Ronda Rousey? Yeah, not too many people. Okay, a couple people. Now, she was great at attacking. I watched the whole thing. She was great at attacking, but she did no guarding. Right? And she usually won against people because she could attack them and they couldn't guard themselves. They couldn't stop her from attacking her. But this other lady knew how to guard. When I was watching it, I was like, man, she's not letting her hit her. When she tried to wrap around, she's moving, shaking her, doing whatever she can. But she knew how to guard, so she was able to win. If you want to be a warrior, you have to learn how to guard. Some people just want to attack. Let's attack. But you can lose your life if you don't know how to guard. So we must know how to guard ourselves. Let's go to Psalms chapter 101, verse 3. I'm just going to list a couple things that we must guard. And then we're going to be out of here. Amen. Let's start at verse 2. I get that from my dad. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when you come to me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. So there's a couple of things that we have to guard in that scripture. One of them is your heart. You want to be a warrior, you have to guard your heart. All right, what does that mean? The Bible says out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The issues of life come from there. They flow out of your heart. Amen. So if your heart ain't right, you're going to say the wrong stuff. You're going to say stuff like, I'm the man. I went through those things that God, hey, but what happens is a lot of people, they did things like if you look at King Saul, he started out giving all the praise to God, but then he got cocky. I'm the man. Oh, we don't got to wait for the man of God. I'm the king. That's what he said. I'm the king. I run this. So we're going to do whatever I say. And that's how he lost the kingdom. He didn't guard his heart. He's a great warrior. Saul had slain his thousands, right? Great warrior, but he didn't guard his heart. An important part of guarding your heart is guarding your eyes. Now, oh, what does that mean? I can't watch certain stuff. Guard your eyes, because you lose a lot of battles because you don't guard your eyes. And then it goes back to, if my people, see, you didn't do that if. Go back. Right, you got to know what I mean. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you need to get back into, you got four steps. Amen. But guard your heart. You want to be a strong warrior in the kingdom of God? Guard your heart and guard your eyes. Somebody say, guard your heart, guard your eyes. Point to somebody, say, guard your heart, guard your eyes. Don't hide them, guard them. Amen. Proverbs 4, verse 23 through 27 says, keep your heart with all diligence. This is the same scripture we just talked about. For out of it spring the issues of life. All right, so you got to guard your heart again, because if your heart's not guarded, you're going to have issues. Put away from your deceitful mouth, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put a perverse lip far from you. That means you got to guard what you say. I know people that say it's okay to curse, that are quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I didn't quote it though. Right? But they think it's okay. I can say whatever I want to say. No, you can't. Not if you want to be powerful in God, because life and death is in the power of your tongue. But you're cursing all the time. And people don't realize it. The curse is death. Cursing stops things. Blessings keeps things going. So when you curse, you're stopping things. That's why we got to be careful what we call each other. Amen? And we know what I'm talking about on that. So we're going to keep it pushing. Psalms chapter 141, verse 3 as well, says the same thing. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Let me keep on reading. It says, do not incline my heart to an evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. And do not let me eat of their delicacies. All right? See, some of us, we want what the world has. Right? We see it in a music video. Oh, man, I got to get that. You want what the world. And sometimes we begin to idolize those people because they have what we want. And they, oh, if I could just be that person for 20 hours. You don't want to be that person. You don't want that. And not only should you not want that, you should understand that God has called you to a specific purpose that person, even though they have all that stuff, can't get to. Amen? That means that God, Tamia said this, God placed you here in this time for a specific purpose. He didn't place you here to be an imitation of somebody else. As Akbar says, we must imitate God. Amen? Last scripture. And I'm big on this. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 through 15. I'm sorry, verse 24, verse 15 through 16. And this is Joshua. He'd already done slain a whole bunch of people. Took care of the work that God placed him here, that got the kingdom, right? Joshua was a warrior. Amen? I mean, if you guys want to read, they need to make a movie on Joshua. Because when you see that, the stuff that he did, like to kingdoms and whoever was in the way, they demolished. I think they only lost one battle because that guy, one guy in his camp just couldn't get it right. Say, don't touch nothing. Oh, I did touch it. Matter of fact, it's back at my house. All right, well, come get it. Bring it here. We're going to burn you and that. Because you done killed all the people because you didn't be obedient. Amen? Messed up the whole nation. They could have been undefeated. Man. And it says, and if it seems to you, or in it, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Under Armour says, we must protect this house. I protect my house. That means I protect my kids, my wife, because they have to be guarded from the enemy and people that are used by the enemy. Amen. I guard what my kids watch. My kids are not watching anything. I turn off some cartoons when them cartoons is talking back to their parents. I saw one cartoon, and it's a great, the kids think it's so great, but this, I ain't gonna say what cartoon it is, but this cartoon, every time you see them, they don't listen to their parents. Talking like they know more than their parents. I said, that's not gonna be in my house. Right? Turn it to another cartoon or turn the TV off. Go read a book. Right? It's time to read. Something. Why? But because I want to guard them from the things of this world. Now, some people think, Marquise, you're pretty extreme about your garden. But guess what? I'm raising up warriors. A warrior doesn't get trained like everybody else. Because how many of you know that everybody is not going to be a warrior? There's going to be some bozos that try to get in war and they mess it up spiritually. Amen. But I'm trying to raise up warriors. So that those are some of the things that we must learn to guard. We must attack. It's important to attack, but we must learn to guard our heart, our eyes, our mouth, and our house so that we can be the warriors that God has called us to be. Amen? Amen. Let us stand and let us pray. If this was impactful to you, I just want you to slip your hand up. Why do I do that? Not to so I can say, oh man, Marquise was preaching good. But so now that you're accountable to what you heard, and now you're going to take it that next step. Amen? Amen. But I just thank God that you guys are here. My prayer is that all of you realize that God has something great for you. Amen. And some of us are, as my wife was saying, you allow the insecurities to keep you from going further, but God has a great purpose and plan for your life. You just got to say yes. God, I accept it. And some of us we try to hide. We like Gideon. I preached about that last year. And I ain't going to preach too much because you guys are standing. So hallelujah. But some of us hide and God has to go find you and say, yeah, I want you. Because he wants to use you and make you powerful. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for everyone under the sound of my voice, oh God. Dear God, I pray, dear God, number one, dear God, that we embrace all that you have for us, oh God. Dear God, I come against the enemy trying to stop us from becoming all that he has, all that God has placed us to be, oh God. I pray to God that we walk in our destiny, that we begin to walk in our purpose, oh God, and that we begin to walk in worship, dear God, as warriors in your kingdom, oh God. And I pray to God that from this point, dear God, that we begin to shift the atmosphere that we walk in, oh God. When people see us, they say, that's a man of God, or that's a woman of God, and lives begin to be changed, oh God. Dear God, I just continually pray right now, dear God, that we rise up as the army of the kingdom of God, oh God, in this day and in this age. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. If anybody wants to thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.